Broadcasting live from Camelback Ranch, spring training home of the Dodgers.
This team has the chemistry to win the World Championship.
This is Dodger Talk.
Got a good lineup.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Brought to you by 1-800-LOAN-MARK.
Same day cash, 7 days a week.
866-987-2570.
The exclusive home of the Dodgers.
Here's your host, David Vassett.
Welcome to Nissan Dodger Talk. Just a week away from opening day at Dodger Stadium, Clayton Kershaw on the mound against the San Diego Padres. It's going to be a great start to what we believe will be a great season for the Dodgers in 2017. Welcome to the show. We're here with you until 8 o'clock tonight, taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570, pound blue. For our AT&T subscribers, coming up at the bottom of the hour, the all-time L.A. Dodger home run leader and 1992 Rookie of the Year, Eric Karros, will join us. Eric was out there at Camelback Ranch for 2 weeks and was a guest instructor, and not only was out there looking pretty, as Fabio would be, but he was actually out there doing some work and working with Cody Bellinger, who is in the same position as he was in the early 90s, trying to unseat a very established veteran. Eric was trying to break through while Eddie Murray was playing first base for the Dodgers. Cody Bellinger trying to break through while Adrian Gonzalez is playing first base for the Dodgers for at least the next 2 years. The Dodgers today lost to the Chicago White Sox, but that's not the big story. Hyunjin Ryu was on the mound. He pitched 5 innings, gave up 2 solo home runs, 3 earned runs in total. More importantly, in my opinion, he struck out 4 and did not walk a single batter. And in 14 innings pitched this spring, Hyunjin Ryu has only walked 1 hitter, which tells you he has command of his pitches. And that is the reason why today, after the game, manager Dave Roberts said that Hyunjin Ryu will be part of the Dodgers starting 5 coming out of Camelback Ranch. And Ryu has said over the last couple of starts that he feels like he is close to the form that we saw the first 2 years with the Dodgers in 2013 and 2014. If that's the case, the Dodgers are going to get a very good pitcher this year. The first 2 years with the Dodgers, Ryu was a combined 28-15 with an ERA of 3.17, a whip just over 1, and he took the mound every time he was asked to, 26 starts in 2014, 30 starts in 2013. So the Dodgers would be getting a huge, huge boost if Ryu is anywhere close to the pitcher he was the first 2 years, and he will be finding out who is the 5th starter, as well we all, in the next few days, because Dave Roberts also announced today that Brandon McCarthy and Alex Wood will be on the roster. The caveat is one of those two will be a relief pitcher. Which one will it be? Well, if you go back over the last year, where the Dodgers obviously have had a lot of talent and a lot of quantity of starting pitching, Alex Wood, after he was coming back from injuring himself swinging the bat last year, there was talk about him going to the bullpen. It never got to that point because they never felt like he was ready enough to go and be active, but it was looking like he was going to the bullpen. And it would make more sense for Alex Wood to come out of the bullpen, since over the last, not only just a year, but the last 2 years, there's been talk about him moving to the bullpen if they were able to add a better starting pitcher than he is to the rotation. I'm not saying Brandon McCarthy is better than him, but Brandon McCarthy has only known being a starting pitcher. And Brandon McCarthy is, from what we've seen over the last year, is not a guy that has command of his pitches right away. So you don't want a guy coming in and walking a lot of guys. So that's part of the reason why I believe Brandon McCarthy will be the 5th starter. Now, who's the odd man out? It could be Ross Stripling, because Dave Roberts was saying just as early as a week ago, Ross Stripling was not competing to be a starting pitcher on this roster, he was competing to be a relief pitcher. So if you're going to carry Alex Wood in the bullpen, and that's the assumption we're going off of with McCarthy being the fifth starter, how does Stripling fit into this? Because Stripling would have been the long man. So I think the guy that gets the worst news out of all of this today is Ross Stripling. Ryu, good news. He's in the rotation after pitching great again today and sustaining his velocity between 88 and 91. That's something that the Dodgers wanted to see over the last two starts. And that's something that he did and was successful in doing. Brandon McCarthy, happy. He's on this roster and more than likely in the rotation. Alex Wood, maybe not as happy as McCarthy and Ryu. He wants to be a starting pitcher, but he's on the roster. Ross Stripling, probably the most unhappiest if he doesn't make the opening day roster, which I'm not sure how he fits in because Chris Hatcher, I know about Chris Hatcher, and we've all been there and seen what he's done over the last couple of years, but it seems like the Dodgers may keep him again to start the season. Pedro Baez, Josh Fields may be an odd man out. He has options and has been working on mechanics and command issues, so we'll see whether or not that works out. Are the Dodgers going to keep three relief pitchers? Maybe, maybe not. I'm talking about lefty specialists. Luis Avilan is out of options, and the way he's pitched this spring, he's pitched pretty well, so I think he's earned a spot on the roster. Grant Dayton, from what the catchers tell me, he has nasty stuff and has pitched pretty well in spring. Adam Libertor has pitched well as well, but he has options and could start the season in the minor leagues, which we'll see whether or not that happens, because there really hasn't been a right-handed reliever that has emerged to be the guy behind Jansen and Romo. There really hasn't been that guy. And maybe that's part of the reason why the Dodgers are thinking about carrying not only Alex Wood as a long man, an insurance policy behind Ryu and McCarthy, if necessary, in any of their starts, but also, too, you know, you're looking at Avilan, Libertor, and Dayton. Avilan could get righties out. The other two guys are really specifically lefty specialists. Dayton can get righties out as well. So there may be a case to carry four lefties in the Dodger bullpen, including Alex Wood. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. All right, Dodger fans, this is the way your rotation looks like. Kershaw, Hill, Maeda, Ryu, McCarthy. I would say that's probably top to bottom the best starting rotation, not only in the National League West, but in all of the National League, and there can be a case made for all of Major League Baseball. Your thoughts on your 2017 opening day starting rotation? 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. When we continue here on Nissan Dodger Talk, we'll let you know which pitcher the Dodgers signed today to a minor league deal, and also more roster questions as far as the Dodger bench goes, and we'll give you an update on Andre Ethier. Exchanged a few texts with the Dodger veteran, and without giving away too much, I'll fill you in on how he feels about the comeback from the herniated disc. More Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vassay until 8 o'clock on AM 570 LA Sports. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vassay with you until 8 o'clock tonight on AM 570 LA Sports. 1 week from today, opening day at Dodger Stadium. Dodgers, Padres, it's for real, Danielson. Yes, that's right. April 3rd, first game of the regular season. The Dodgers not only having opening day next Monday, but that is the start of the 2017 season. The Dodgers start with four games against the San Diego Padres at Dodger Stadium, and then we'll head out on a road trip to Denver and Chicago. Yes, they will be there in Chicago 2 weeks from now, when the Cubs get their World Series ring. You don't think that's pouring a little gasoline on the fire for the Dodgers after last year? I think Sports Illustrated was onto something. Dodgers beating the Indians in the 2017 World Series. I think we all would like to see that happen. And one thing that I will tell you, I agree with Sports Illustrated that the Dodgers will win the World Series, but I don't think they'll beat the Indians. I think they beat the Boston Red Sox. So that's what I'm going with. Dodgers over the Sox in the World Series. And I think the National League, for the most part, in the West and the Central, is going to be almost identical to last year. The one division that may change is the NL East with the Nationals. The Mets supposedly having all of those aces healthy now. Syndergaard, Harvey, DeGrom, all those guys being healthy. They may have a chance to unseat the Washington Nationals, but the Nationals, they have a pretty good team. Their bullpen may be a question mark since they don't have a high-end closer, but they're going to try to go in-house with a guy by the name of Sean Kelly, who is one of the best relief pitchers in the National League last year. So we'll see how Dusty Baker manages that bullpen this year. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, you'll hear from the all-time L.A. Dodger home run leader, Eric Karros. Had a chance to catch up with him while he was instructing at Camelback Ranch a couple of weeks ago. And we want to remind you that Dodger Baseball is brought to you by Nissan. Nissan is the proud sponsor of this show, Dodger Talk. And we want to remind you, too, that the Dodgers made a signing today. Justin Masterson was signed to a minor league deal by the Dodgers today. In 2015, he had an ERA of 5.76 in 18 games with the Red Sox. In 2016, he was out of baseball because he had shoulder issues. So he will be in minor league camp with the, well, not minor league camp. He is signed to a minor league deal. The Dodgers have not announced it. It's according to John Heyman from FanRag Sports. So we'll see what happens there. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. We're talking about the Dodger rotation, and the Dodgers today announced that Hyunjin Ryu will be in the rotation, and Brandon McCarthy and Alex Wood will be on the roster. The one thing Dave Roberts would not say, though, is which one will be the starter and which one will be the reliever. Every indication is McCarthy will be the fifth starter. Alex Wood will be the insurance policy for Ryu or McCarthy. And one thing, too, I said maybe Ross Stripling is the odd man out. You know, from what I'm hearing, he may not be the odd man out. He may, too, make this roster out of the bullpen. So I don't think Ross Stripling is completely out of the running for making this roster. I think there's still a very good chance he's part of the 2017 opening day roster. I know there's been some tweets by some of the beat guys out there that are assuming already that he's not on the roster. I think there is still a very good chance that Ross Stripling is on this opening day roster. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for AT&T subscribers. Also coming up in the show, I'll let you know how Andre Ethier is feeling and how that herniated disc is going and when we can expect the 12-year veteran back with the Dodgers. Let's go out to Palm Springs. Dominic, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vassey. Hi, Dominic.
Hey, Dave, thanks for taking that call. You know, I just wanted to talk a second about, you know, we're hearing a lot about McCarthy, a lot about Stripling and Wood, but, you know, Julio Urias had some great quality starts down the stretch for us last year, his last five starts, and I'm just curious on why his name's not being brought up and they don't want to continue his growth and have him start the year with the team.
Well, are you familiar with the narrative that Dave Roberts started back in January, Dominic?
I do not exactly know, maybe not.
No, I'm not trying to slam you down or give you the seltzer or anything like that. In January, when the Dodgers were on their caravan, Dave Roberts kind of led us or tipped us all off that the Dodgers were thinking about holding Julio back to start the season so they could conserve his innings that he's allotted for 2017 for the middle of the year and, more importantly, the end of the year, September, and hopefully an October run. So the Dodgers are not going to just let this guy loose this year. There's still some restrictions on him innings-wise, and they don't want to put him in the bullpen. They just want to keep him as a starter. So it looks like he is going to stay back for extended spring training, kind of keep him idling, kind of like your car in the garage, keep him idled for a little bit, and then turn that roadster racer loose on the on baseball in May and June and never look back. So that's the plan.
Ah, great plan.
You like that plan? You like that plan, Dominic?
Yeah, I want to see him in the playoffs. I want to see him doing well. I think he's a good asset of ours, and I think in a couple years he's going to be our 1-2 punch with Kershaw for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thank you, Dominic. Appreciate it. And there might be a 1-2-3 punch in a couple of years. Kershaw, Urias, and a guy named Walker Buehler, who was the Dodgers' number one pick in 2015. I'm telling you, I've never heard coaches buzz in the 5 or 6 years that I've been with the Dodgers on an everyday basis. I have never heard coaches buzz as much as they're buzzing about Walker Buehler and what they've seen on the minor league field from this guy. So he is on the Dodgers' radar, and there may be an outside chance that you may see Walker Buehler in the Dodger bullpen or on the team at some point by the time 2017 is over with. Let's go out to Burbank. Jorge, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Jorge.
Hey, David. Quick question about Ike Davis.
Ike Davis?
Does he have a chance of actually making this team? And if not, what does the future hold? Is he a guy that we'd see in OKC?
Yeah, you would hope so. He provides them with some depth, but I don't see him making the Dodger opening day roster. There's just too many good players that probably are more in the Dodger plans than Ike Davis, Jorge.
What a bummer.
Are you related to Ike Davis?
Yeah, Jorge. Jorge's related to Ike Davis.
Well, I'm just asking. Who would call in asking about Ike Davis unless you're related? All right. Thanks for the phone call. I mean, seriously, you could ask about Seager. You could ask about Ethier. You could ask about Kershaw. You could ask about Kenley Jansen. And he's calling in asking me about Ike Davis. Now, Ike Davis is a nice guy. I like him. But you're calling in. Jorge from Burbank is calling asking me about Ike Davis and whether or not he is going to make the Dodger opening day roster. I mean, have you seen the names on this roster that are in camp? Yeah, he's going to beat out Chase Utley. Sorry, they're cutting Chase Utley. No, he's gonna beat out Trace Thompson or Scott Van Slyke. No doubt about it. Jorge, are you sure you're not related? Second or third cousin, maybe? You never know. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Speaking of the bench, this is the way the Dodger 5 is looking, because I'm going under the assumption the Dodgers are starting the season with 5 relievers. And if the Dodgers are going to keep Ross Stripling and Alex Wood in their bullpen, which it seems like they may, then maybe it's only going to be a 4-man bench. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's a good chance that there's 7 relief pitchers and 5 bench players. And here are the 3 we know will be on the Dodger bench to start the season. Chase Utley, Austin Barnes, or Bobby Wilson. I love Austin, but my choice would be Bobby Wilson. But the Dodgers have to see what Austin can do and give him an opportunity. I understand that. So let's say it's Austin Barnes as the backup catcher. Franklin Gutierrez, who was signed to a major league deal for $2 million to hit against lefties, because we know the Dodgers had their struggles last year. Now, here is where it gets interesting, and this is where I need your help. And no, Ike Davis will not be part of the final 2 roster spots on the bench. So if you could come up with somebody else other than Ike Davis, 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. I'm sure Jorge will call back tomorrow night asking about the prospects of Justin Masterson making the Dodger opening day roster as well. All right, here it is. The last 2 roster spots early in camp, it looked like it was going to be Scott Van Slyke and Kike Hernandez. Now, Kike went to play for Puerto Rico, and while he did that, Chris Taylor did everything the Dodgers asked him to do as far as where to play, and Chris Taylor was one of the hottest hitters for the Dodgers in spring training, close to .500 all spring. Van Slyke started hot, has cooled off, but spring training games have been going on for a month. It's kind of like the first month of the season. You're not going to stay hot the entire month. So this is where Rob Segedin comes into play. Rob Segedin is versatile, can play more positions than Van Slyke. Van Slyke has options as well, so he could be sent down. Rob Seguin can play two corner outfield spots, can play third base, can play first base. Van Slyke can play both corner spots, maybe center field at this point in time. He has in the past, but he can only play first base in the infield. So who would be the last two spots on the Dodger bench if you had to make this decision? 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. As far as maybe some spots with guys going on the DL, the only spot that has opened up is the spot that Andre Ethier is leaving open temporarily, because he more than likely will start the season on the DL, which in my opinion leaves the door open for Andrew Tolles and not Trace Thompson. The only thing that makes me think maybe the Dodgers are going with Trace is because Trace is a more finished product than Andrew Tolles. Andrew Tolles is still very raw, and we've seen that in spring training. He burst onto the scene, was a great igniter for the Dodgers in the month of August when it's the dog days. But Trace has shown he's healthy. Trace can play all three positions. Plus, Dave Roberts said to the reporters in Camelback Ranch last week that it's not necessarily a platoon in left field, which makes me believe if it's not a platoon, there's no need for another left-handed batter like Andrew Tolles. Maybe you put Trace Thompson out there on an everyday basis. So that's the opening there. So you got the last two spots on the Dodger bench, and who would you choose, Tolles or Thompson, to take the spot that's left open by Andre Ethier, who will start the season on the DL? Now, speaking of Andre Ethier, I did exchange a few texts with him today, and without giving away anything that he told me, I will say this. He is optimistic about his recovery, and it won't take 6 to 8 weeks. He feels like he'll be able to recover from this herniated disc pretty on a good pace. I'm not going to try to put a timetable on it. That would be a disservice to him and the Dodgers, but he is optimistic about his recovery, and that's where I'll leave it. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go back out to the phones. Let's go out to Isabel in Buena Park. What's up, Isabel?
Hey, David, how are you?
Doing good.
That's good. Tell Adriana happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Isabel. Yes, yeah, she's very happy.
I'll take Thompson and Sigurdsson. So anyway, that's mine. But anyway,
right.
my big question is, what is they gonna do with Casimir? Are they gonna cut him or keep him at camp? So anyway, we'll talk tomorrow. And I can't wait till next Monday. I am looking forward. I'm dying for Dodgers. Well, I know you had preseason, but I'm just dying for the regular season. So I'm so excited. So
nothing like it, Isabel. And we can't wait either. Our pregame coverage will start at 9 a.m. Fred, Rodney, Petros, and Money will be at Dodger Stadium next Monday beginning at 9 a.m. leading into our pregame coverage at 12 o'clock with Rick, Charlie, myself, and Tim Cates and Alana Rizzo. So it's going to be a big day here on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports, the only place you can hear Dodger baseball. And a week from today, opening day at Dodger Stadium against the San Diego Padres, with Clayton Kershaw making a franchise record 7th consecutive opening day start. He will tie Don Sutton for the most opening day consecutive starts in Dodger franchise history. Sutton as well made 7, and Kershaw will also be tying Don Drysdale, who made 7 overall opening day starts for the Dodgers. So it will be an exciting day. And don't forget, too, you could get a little preview of the Dodgers before opening day with the Freeway Series, which begins Thursday in Anaheim. Thursday and Friday night, the Dodgers and Angels will play at 7 o'clock at Angel Stadium. And on Saturday night, the game will be at Dodger Stadium at 6 o'clock. So 3 Freeway Series exhibition games, 2 in Anaheim, Thursday and Friday, and the last one at Dodger Stadium on Saturday, and you'll be able to preview some of those new concession stands at Dodger Stadium, and from what I've seen, it looks pretty good. Let's go out to the phones again. Coming up in our next segment, you'll hear from Eric Karros. Manuel in Gardena, my man, what's up?
How you doing, DVA? Excellent PMS deal today, man. You had them boys on their toes. Hey, as far as your question, gotta give a shout out to Ronnie too, because he's working sick. But back to your question.
No, you don't need to give him a shout out. It's not necessary.
You know we got to. The last two is gonna be like you were saying, man. I'm glad you give us the breakdown on the real Dodger talk. I wanted to go with SVS, of course, loyalty factor, and then Chris Taylor, man. I think those two guys are going to be the guys to energize this bench on this magical 2017 run, DV.
All right. Thanks for the phone call, Manuel. Appreciate it. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And keep in mind, too, and I actually reminded some players of this during spring training. They didn't even realize it. With the Dodgers, depth and the talent that they have accumulated here, not only on just the first 25 that will be on the opening day roster, but also the entire 40-man roster. This year, with the new CBA, there's a new rule in place for the disabled list. As you've known in the past, it's always been a 15-day DL. Well, with the new CBA, it's now shrunk down to a 10-day DL. So if a guy in the past had maybe a little knick-knack injury that was not serious enough to keep him out for 15 games or 15 days, the team would play short and for 4 or 5 days. I don't believe that will be the case this year. If a guy's got a nagging injury that's going to keep him out of 3 or 4 or even 5 games, the club will not hesitate on putting that player on the 10-day DL. So the Dodgers are in a great position for the regular season to replace whoever goes on the 10-day DL with a very good player. And I think that's something Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi kept in mind when they continued to add more talent to this 40-man roster. They realize you're going to need very good players at your minor league level, especially this year, to fill in when guys are injured. And that's one thing that Andrew Friedman said on day one. You always have to take into account the variable of injury. And with the 10-day, not the 15-day DL, players are going to be shuttled more, if you could believe that, from OKC to Los Angeles because of that, in my opinion. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Don't forget tomorrow, the Dodgers will be taking on the San Diego Padres in Arizona. We are carrying that game on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports. Pre-game coverage begins at 12:30, and first pitch is at 1:05 with Rick Monday and Jerry Hairston Jr. We're going to take a timeout here on Nissan Dodger Talk. When we come back, you'll hear from the all-time L.A. Dodger home run leader, Eric Karros. EK is next on AM 570 L.A. Sports. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Coming up in just a moment, we'll get to Eric Karros. Had a great conversation with him. He was a guest instructor for Dave Roberts the last couple of weeks, so we'll hear from the 1992 National League Rookie of the Year and the all-time L.A. Dodger home run leader. But first, want to get to more of your phone calls, 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Pasadena. Ned, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Ned.
Hey, David. In talking about folks to keep on the roster, boy, you've got a lot of good names there. But what about Charlie Culberson? And I still have a case to make for Andrew Toles.
I love Charlie. I love Charlie Culberson, but he is making major league money, being paid to do what he did last year, go back and forth when necessary. What's your case for Andrew Toles?
Think about the play that he made against the Washington Nationals in the playoffs, nailing Jason Worth with a beautiful relay. He cut off the ball going into the corner, left field corner. He can play right field. He can play left field. Man, the guy's got a whip for an arm. And he hit hit the cutoff man, Corey Seager, beautifully. Corey Seager had Jason Worth out by 15 feet.
No, I like his arm, Ned, but he has shown in spring training and even last year in the playoffs that he still does not track the ball very well in the outfield, and he cannot play center field. Trace Thompson can, and yeah, maybe he doesn't do it with the diving catches, but one thing Trace does is cover a lot of ground without having to dive for the ball. And if you're going to talk about not platooning, I think there's a better chance Dave Roberts was intimating Trace Thompson gets that spot while Andre Ethier is out. I thought automatically it was Tolles, but he's got me thinking now, and that's a fair argument for Tolles. Let's go out to Culver City. Kevin, you're on Dodger Talk. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, what's up, David? Just wanted to give you a call, and I want to try to get all this stuff in, so please bear with me. First, I want to give my condolences to Vic the Brick. I'm pulling for him. I love Vic.
No condolences necessary, Kevin. Ronnie talked to him. Vic is in great spirits, and the surgery was a success, so he's doing great.
Oh, that's great. I've known Vic since 1994. I met him. I was 9 years old. He came to a celebrity basketball game in my school when he was working at Kiss FM with Rick D. So
nice.
Vic is the man. You know, he gave one of the first people to give Petros Papadakis a platform on his show. He's done a lot for radio. So
yes, he has.
I want to also acknowledge, Tony Gwynn Jr., you know, great co-host with you. You guys' chemistry was great together, man. I'm going to miss him. I definitely think you guys should bring in Eric Carroll sometimes on the show. And with my baseball take, Logan Forsythe, look, I was thinking typical Dodgers, here we go. They don't get Brian Dozier. Okay, I really wanted Dozier a lot. 42 home runs, he's a great player. But I like Logan. I like his grit. I like what I see out of spring training, and it looks like he might really give us the first gritty player we've truly had since Jeff Cannon.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kevin, and we have to run to get to Eric Karros. I agree with you. Logan Forsythe is going to be a great addition to this ball club. Had a chance to catch up with Eric Karros, and I use the analogy that I've used many times talking to you about how Eric was trying to break in while Eddie Murray was at first base to what's going on right now with Cody Bellinger trying to break through at first base while Adrian Gonzalez is there. And we started the interview with his feelings on that analogy.
Well, in the future it is. And the reason I say that, going back to my situation, you know, Eddie played out his time here and then was a free agent. The Dodgers, you know, they were interested. They just didn't elect to sign him. Eddie got a better deal in New York, and he went on. And, you know, I think right now, you know, Adrian is a very productive player, and that's not to say that Cody shouldn't be in the big leagues, because with just about any other organization, he's probably the starting first baseman. But he's going to have his opportunity, and whether it's this year at some point, and could it be in the outfield? Could it be, you know, it could be at first base? Adrian, the guy is a perennial all-star. He's a professional. He does so many things as far as, you know, what he brings defensively, offensively. He is just, you know, he's 90 to 110 RBIs every single year. The one thing I will say about this Dodger ball club that separates them from every other club is the depth. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy. And so, you know, it's good if you're a fan. It's good if you're in the front office. It's good if you're on the coaching staff. But if you're a player, you're going, dang, man, I got 20 guys here that could play. And you're competing for just a handful of positions. So, it keeps everybody on their toes. It forces them to also, to constantly compete. You don't get complacent. Cody Bellinger will absolutely get a shot, right? There's no question. And when he does, I think it'll be for a very, very long time. But the reality is there are all-stars, on this ball club right now.
And I think Cody Bellinger's hair could compete with yours back in the day, too.
He might. It's funny. Yeah, no, it's one of the coaches today made a comment that they were watching Bellinger walk towards us, and they're like, man, that looks like you. Boy, I mean, you were younger. Yeah.
I will compliment you, because all these former players come in as special instructors and put the uniform back on. When you got the cap on and you don't have your white beard showing, You still look like the same Eric Karros as back in the day. And that's the only compliment I will give you. I don't like to give you too many compliments,
I'll take
but that's
it.
True.
I'll take it. No, out there hitting the fungos today,
yeah,
and the flips in the cage. It's good. It's an opportunity to come out here, work with some of the guys, get involved. Some have questions. Some want to ask me things. And look, it's the interesting thing is I've been in their situation, and there are experiences that I can share and talks that I can have as a young player, as a veteran player, as a guy that, there are many different shoes that I wore here as a Dodger player. And, just the other night, I remember we had a game, and it was the craziest inning I'd ever seen. And we ended up giving up 14 runs in the last inning. And, a lot of kids were out there. I say kids, you had some AAA guys, some AA guys. And, here they are. They're getting their big league opportunity. And there were some miscues out there. And I know that feeling. And that feeling, it's you feel bad and you want to console them because you go back to your hotel room, you're looking at your ceiling, and you're thinking, man, I just screwed up my whole life. And that's the thing. It's like, look, we've all been there, and it's going to pass. And just put it by you. And those are the things that, I'm not coming down here to say, look, you ought to change your hands and move your blah, blah, blah. I'm here to support, the coaching staff and the organization, and whether it's going over to the minor league side and doing some things, whether it's picking up balls, whether it's, getting an opportunity to spend some time with some of the guys just talking, I'm available to do anything.
And that's kind of you paying it forward, because we heard so many stories when the Dodgers were in Vero Beach, how many great former players were not just eye candy, not just hood ornaments, they were actually involved.
Well, and that's something that, I really appreciate the organization, what they do now. And it's very similar to, what was done when I came up, and there'd be guys, Campanella was yeah, there, and Duke Snyder, and obviously, Don Drysdale, Koufax, Maury Wills. All of these guys were around, and you could talk to them, and they'd share stories. They'd give you tips. They'd talk about, what they would do in certain situations. And, is it all something that you're going to take and you're going to apply? No. But you pick your things and what works for you. And it's, again, I think that stuff is invaluable. And, that's some of the things that I can offer when I come back.
Eric Karros is our guest. I got to ask you, because I never have you like this, and I don't like to go down memory lane with you too often, because I give away me being in high school, like loving Eric Karros when he was the Rookie of the Year in 1992. But can you remember your first big league camp in Vero Beach, and how were you able to put aside what everybody was talking about? Obviously, it's not to the extent now with the internet and all that, but you knew people were talking about you.
So my first big league camp, I knew I wasn't going to make the club because Eddie Murray was there, but it was my first time to be involved with the big league club. What was interesting back then is you would live on Vero Beach, I'd say on campus.
Yeah.
You'd live at Vero Beach.
Yeah.
And you could play. I mean, I remember playing as many as three games in a day, or parts of three games. We'd play the quote-unquote B game in the morning, which would be, it's a big league game against another team, obviously. But it would be a lot of the guys at the bottom of the roster, like myself. And you'd have a big league pitcher, but you'd play that in the morning. And then what you'd do is then you'd go down, you'd go play your AAA game at 1 o'clock. You get out of there, and then you'd go clean up and what they'd say caddy for the big league guys,
wow,
fill in the last two or three innings over at Holman Stadium at Vero Beach. And again, you'd play parts of three games. And the reason you would do that, and the reason you'd get, it was always an opportunity for somebody to see it, to open up somebody's eyes. So, and that's what they're doing here. You're not playing the extended games, but there are a lot of young kids that get an opportunity to play in these big league games. And that's one thing that this organization it does that isn't necessarily practiced by a lot of the other organizations, and that if you're having success and you're in rookie ball, they move you right to A ball. If you're doing well, then they'll move you along. It's not we're going to set you at a place for the entire year, and then if you do well, we'll move you next year. If you prove that you can compete, they keep moving you right along, which I think makes a lot of sense. And you know, you gotta credit that to the front office, Gabe Kapler over on the minor league side, and just the overall philosophy. And that's why I say you get an opportunity, even if you've just been in the organization for a year, to mix and match with the big league guys.
Is it rushing, though? You always hear when a guy moves through a system quick, they're rushing him too much. But do you think that benefits the player if they go from one level to the next quickly?
Well, I don't think that, the one thing, it's not so much rushing. Once you develop the ability and prove that you can play at a certain level, okay, well, let's move you on to the next level and see how you can do. I mean, I guess there's something to be said to try and build somebody's confidence and give them that entire year of stability and feeling good about themselves. But, look, I know that coming up in the organization, for me, I would have liked to have moved quicker, yeah. Right? It was 1 year at a time. I'd be at the place, whether it's Bakersfield,
yes.
San Antonio, Albuquerque. I'm there for the whole year. And, in the minor leagues, I had very good minor league seasons. Now, in hindsight, you would say, well, it worked out well, and which 100%. I mean, I wouldn't change anything, in a million years. But I do think there's something to be said that if the player proves that they can handle it at a level, challenge them. There's nothing wrong with challenging somebody and see how those players, how they face those challenges. So I think what they're doing here has been wonderful.
When you were coming up, you always heard, obviously, when Mike Piazza went into the Hall of Fame, he had Reggie Smith front row next to you. Was there one guy like that for you that really helped you and really was your advocate?
Well, I could say Tommy. In the minor leagues, I'd say Reggie. The general manager, Fred Clare, was always in my corner. I think as minor leaguers, Kevin Kennedy, Timmy Johnson, John Shoemaker,
he's still here.
And so there are a lot of those guys. I spent an awful lot of time with Reggie as well, just because he was the hitting instructor for the entire minor leagues, and he had a huge impact on all of us. And look, I was an offensive player. There's no question that was something that allowed me to get to the big leagues.
Speed?
Hey, more stolen bases than Joe DiMaggio. I didn't say that on air.
Who's counting?
But I actually, it's funny as you say that. I spent they used to have a workout in the morning, a group called the Burners, and Maury Wills used to run that group. And you had to have stole 15 bases or more during the regular season. I had stole 15 in Bakersfield. And so I was in the Burners group, and I'll be darned if I didn't in the big leagues. I got 1 year, 15 stolen bases.
Wow.
1 year. So you can that's funny. You can rag me about a lot of stuff, but when you start talking about the stolen bases and whatever, well, now I go dude, just check out the numbers. That was 15 bags in the big leagues. That's not 15 bags at, club baseball when I was 12.
Wasn't there a side bet you and a couple of teammates had who could steal more bases, the slower guys on the team?
What are you talking about, slower guys?
Yeah, I mean,
no, you know what's funny is, in all honesty, where I really learned it from was getting called up in September. I shouldn't say learned it from, but Eddie Murray, who was not the most fleet of foot, right? But he'd get 15 to 20 bags.
You're right.
And it didn't have anything to do with speed, right? It had all to do with anticipating a certain situation, setting up the pitcher and the catcher. And you could, as a good base runner, you could get 10 to 15 bags a year.
Eric Harris is our guest. All right. Are you upset that Mike Piazza gave away your secrets in his book where you guys were hopping the fence to go venture out in Vero Beach? I mean, that's what it would take to leave Dodger Town, hopping over fences in the middle of the night.
Yeah, well, but let me tell you something. Once you hopped over the fence, you're like, all right, what did we hop over the fence for?
Where do we go now?
Now it's like, all right, wait, we got to figure out a way to hop the fence and get back in because I'm not sure. There was, Vero was a lovely town for baseball, right? And in hindsight, not that you'd complain about it while you were there, but It's all baseball. It was all baseball back then. I mean, there was not a lot to do, and you know, when you're a single guy and you know you're young, it's that's probably one of the better places to have spring training.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
To say that it's very conducive to baseball.
Hey, last week there was a big Dodger fan here that coincidentally was Ringo Starr's, or currently is Ringo Starr's, drummer in his band, and he was telling me back in the day in the 90s he would hang out in the clubhouse with you and Mike, because there was a drum kit back there. It was Greg Bissett, and he was down here, and he was telling me some pretty good stories about that drum set in the Dodger clubhouse.
That's funny, though. You mentioned Greg. I saw him here last week as well, and
he still had the hat that you gave him.
He did. He had this old like Dodger.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, geez, man. The drum kit. That was Mike would play that all the time, and. He tried to actually, when we were living together, he tried to bring it back to our place. And I was like, dude, look, I mean, I love you, man, but that ain't happening. So, yeah, no, he had a drum kit, and he'd go, you know, Mike would go beat on that thing after games, or to let out frustration or something sometimes. It was a good outlet for him.
What was your outlet?
My outlet. What was my outlet?
You didn't play you, as a.
So as a musician? No, I'm trying to think.
Were you a musician?
Like,
you were not.
No,
a musician.
No. I'm trying to think what I would do when I'd have frustration. I don't know. I internalized a lot of stuff, but I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't be afraid to go out once in a while.
I understand. Yeah, Petros mentions Harry O's quite a bit when it was the, you know, Raider and Dodger town back then.
Mix amongst the fans, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right, man of the people. Right, that's who you were.
There you go.
You were a man of the people.
Very well
exactly
put.
Right. You weren't afraid to touch the fans out there in the early 90s. Hey, thanks for coming up, man. This means a lot.
And, hey, anytime, David.
Enjoyed watching you play. So that's the only time I'll ever say that again.
Thank you.
Too.
Thank you.
I don't want to. This will get awkward if I say anything more.
How about a hug?
All right, yeah, we'll hug it out. We'll put a picture on Twitter.
Yeah, we did. You could see that picture on Twitter @TheReal_DV and on Instagram, officially Vasse, if you want to see me and Eric Harris embrace. He did push me away as soon as the picture was over. Just kidding. I love Eric Harris and appreciate him coming up to the booth at Camelback Ranch to join us. He's a great guy, and in case you missed any of that interview, you could podcast it at am570lasports.com. That's where you could podcast the show if you missed any of it. We'll be back with you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And don't forget tomorrow, more Cactus League Dodger baseball beginning at 12:30 with the pregame show, Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck. And at 1:05, Rick Monday and Jerry Hairston Jr. will have the call. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio for his help. Thanks again to Eric Harris for spending a lot of time with us up in the booth at Camelback Ranch. Talk to you tomorrow night. Have a great night. See ya.